or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call American Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs in high definition also available.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and glad to be back with you after a few days of travel. This morning we have an old friend as our guest this morning, and we're going to be talking about something that happened a long time ago, back in 1993. But it is so apropos today, because unless you understand what happened with the siege at Waco, you really can't understand what's going on in the Middle East today. We're probably close to 1 million Iraqis have been killed unnecessarily in a war that was totally unnecessary. And most Americans somehow have accepted, well, it was just a mistake. Oh, shucks, it was just a mistake. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't just a mistake. They knew what they were doing. They sent our boys in there not to win the war, but simply to fight another no-win, long, dragged-out war, because it mobilizes the people behind our government. And if you don't back our boys, you're unpatriotic. Well, if you care about the boys, you would not send them into battle with inadequate equipment, without the ability to win the battle. And time and again, when the military wanted to win, they were prevented from winning. And we'll cover more of that in the interviews we'll be doing with General Ricardo Sanchez in his new book, Wiser in Battle. But this morning, we want to take you back to 1993, to the siege at Waco. And there's no one who understands that better than Mike McNulty. Of course, the first siege was the siege at Ruby Ridge, where government officials gave orders to kill Vicki Weaver. And they blew her head off while she was holding her child. The man who did that, Lon Horiocchi, has been rewarded. He's been placed in witness protection to protect his life from insensitive Americans who probably think that he shouldn't have carried out his orders. He was just given orders. He was only carrying out orders when he blew off Vicki Weaver's head. But nobody at the FBI has been held responsible, has been tried for ordering the death of an American citizen. And then a couple of years later, we had what happened in Waco. And you have never heard the truth about what happened, unless, of course, you heard Mike McNulty speak or seen the video, which we carry and we have in stock now, called Waco, A New Revelation. Oh, certainly, Mike was instrumental in putting out the first video, Waco, The Rules of Engagement, but Waco, A New Revelation is so important. Every American needs to see this. Why? Because you begin to understand the mentality of the people who control Washington, D.C. today, and your testimony to your destiny. Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Stan. Good to be with you again.
Well, we haven't had Mike on for a long time, but we should never forget the past, because remember what George Santayana said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So how did you get involved in the issue of Waco and certainly the first video and then the second one?
Well, I might remind you also that there in the new film, new relatively speaking, Waco, A New Revelation, there's a couple of elements in there that were a bit prophetic, I'm afraid. One had to do with about a 20-minute segment in the film following the chain of command back up the line as to who was responsible for what did occur on April the 19th down at Mount Carmel. And it gets really interesting because the Texas Rangers were told that if they had a problem in their investigations, which they certainly did, and they say so in the film, with truth and fact and so on and so forth coming out of the, or not coming out of the federal government's mouths, that they should contact this person. And that person His name is synonymous with all kinds of other mysteries in the Clinton administration. And the fact is that the people who made the final decisions were the people at the top of the administration. Bill Clinton had to make a conscious decision to sign an order sending Delta Force troops to Waco, and he sent 14 operators, and they were engaged, actively engaged. Matter of fact, they appear in the video film in the immediate aftermath of the fire. There's a number of things that came about with, to sort of digress to your question, that came about immediately after making the second film, or the first film, I'm sorry. And those things had to do with being able to access information that we didn't have access to before. The first film, as good as people thought it was, frankly, informationally, I didn't think it was as good as the second one. The second one provides information that's provided by the government itself, the Texas Rangers, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the ATF, all produce more information. And with the access to the evidence locker that we obtained, that was key, because the first thing we found was a cut-down Corona beer box full of Super VHS videotapes made by the federal government and the Texas Rangers and the ATF. And a lot of that footage went into the making of the second film.
And, of course, they were furious in Washington, D.C., that
they weren't happy.
Actually got in there. In fact, they went after then the U.S. attorney who helped you get in there and destroyed his career.
Unfortunately, that is true. Bill Johnson. The best thing I can say about Bill Johnson is he's an honest man.
Yeah.
And he was troubled by some of the things that went on in the way the federal government conducted itself. Troubled enough to carry on conversations with myself and to move forward with the idea of, now that all the legal processes have been completed, here's the evidence just sitting there. Why not let McNulty go through it and see what he finds?
And this was he the prosecutor in the trial?
He was the U.S. attorney who helped plan the BATF raid. He was there for the criminal trial of the Branch Davidians. He was the prosecuting attorney. And he also was instrumental in helping us to gain access to the evidence locker. And matter of fact, he appears in the film. You'll see him in the evidence locker with myself and some of my colleagues looking at evidence. And the things that we found put a lie to, well, several lies, if you will, to the government's story of, oh, we didn't use pyrotechnic devices. Well, yes, they did. And a number of other issues, including there was no gunfight. Oh, yes, there was. There was, at that particular juncture in time, the claim was that there was only one piece of infrared video footage made by the FBI of the events of that day, April 19th. Sounds like we need to take a break.
Yeah, and they lied, ladies and gentlemen, and they sent the Delta Forces in to kill the women and the children, and they did it. And you've never heard that? Well, that's why you have to see this video, because you'll see the people who talk to them who admitted it.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Stop living with pain. Discover MagnetiCare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net. How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
If you're a woman over 35 and suffering from hot flashes, mood swings, low sex drive, it could be your hormones. Listen to what Suzanne Summers has to say.
All I could think was, who turned up the heat in here? I found out that it's all about balancing bioidentical hormones. My brain is sharp, my moods are even, I'm sleeping great, and I even lost the extra weight in my midsection.
Radiant Clinic is Suzanne Summers' only recommended clinic in Colorado for bioidentical hormones. Look for a location near you at RadiantClinicColorado.com. And the
well, good morning. Mike McDoldy is back with us, and Mike was the man who really was instrumental in producing the second in this series of films on Waco, which you must understand. And of course, the Delta Force, these are trained killers. They're trained with your tax money. They are the finest, some of the finest fighting men in the world today, part of the Special Forces. But unfortunately, Delta Force people are told to kill who they're told to kill, and they will do it. They are told these are enemies of the state or whatever they have to be told in the way of a lie to get them to do it. But, of course, people say, well, but that's only over there in Afghanistan. That's over there in Iraq. They wouldn't kill people here in the United States, or would they if they were ordered to by the President of the United States? When you're in the military, you do what you're told or you go to prison. And that's
well,
that
in fact,
what happens. You go right ahead, Mike.
Well, in fact, the question of Delta Force is what makes this case so egregious. It's one thing to have a paramilitary unit known as the FBI Hostage Rescue Team go in after men, women, and children. Yes, they were armed, but not to the extent that the government would have you think, and that the Hostage Rescue Team was armed with even more egregious weapons, such as Mark 19 automatic grenade launchers. They're stubby-looking machine guns you see on the tops of Humvees in Iraq that launch 40-millimeter explosive grenades. They had, and we proved this through paperwork trails, that they had 40-millimeter high-explosive shrapnel-producing grenades that they launched with these Mark 19 grenade launchers. And I'm not confusing that with the M79. M79 is a single-shot grenade launcher. The Mark 19 operates like a machine gun, one round after another in rapid succession. And they did use those weapons in the endgame on April the 19th. As the fires were beginning to build in the building, they added to the conflagration by using high-explosive rounds on the gymnasium area towards the back of the building away from television cameras. The number of things that we found in the evidence locker and through the course of our investigation were really phenomenal. You know, as a matter of circumstance, we didn't have access to any of that when we made the first film. We knew something was wrong, and we had a bit of evidence here and there. We knew it wasn't a flamethrower tank, but how did the fire get started, for example? One of the things that I've come to the conclusion on the fires after many years of looking over the evidence as it would come forth was that everybody had a share of the blame. Yes, there were a fire or fires set by Branch Davidians. Yes, there were fires ignited by the use of pyrotechnic devices in the building on the part of the federal government. And in the first instance, the famous flame coming out the window shot in all the video footage, that first fire, I believe that was started by accident. How did that happen? Well, the government inserted the last of its volley of CS gas in a methylene chloride carrier, which was intended to evaporate very rapidly. But what we found in our testing was the methylene chloride, when it evaporated, left vapors. And those vapors were very flammable. So going over the information provided by the FBI, the 302 reports of various observers that day, and with the test results that we've conducted during the course of producing the FLIR project about the gunfire issue, we found that the methylene chloride indeed was ignitable, very easily ignitable, and that it burned in a flash fire mode to the point to where it flashed over very quickly and ignited other combustibles in a room. So the net result was the room at the corner, second story corner, southwest corner of the building that had the last injected burst of methylene chloride and CS gas put into it, we find that there was a Branch Davidian in that room, and he was seen by FBI agents, and he fired his weapon at the tank as it pulled away. In doing so, it's our belief that his muzzle flash, as it did in our tests, ignited the methylene chloride in a flash fire, not unlike the kind of fire that you would see on an Indy racer. You've seen all those videotapes of people that get caught in a conflagration started while refueling an Indy racer with the alcohol-based fuel. It flashed, and you don't see the flames. They're almost invisible. And so these flames would have gone through the room very rapidly and ignited other materials in the room that were combustible, such as curtains and bedding and clothing and carpeting and things of this nature. And we believe that's how the very first fire started. It started by accident when the Branch Davidian fired on the tank and caused a flash fire in the room. The other fires sequentially, or alternately were started by pyrotechnic devices that we discovered in the evidence chain that the FBI said they'd never use those. And we also found that they had used some high explosive rounds at the back of the building. We also found evidence and good evidence, not just talking about putting flammables in certain places, but actual evidence of a fire having been started in the chapel area in the course of events. So we've got a number of things going on, and to paint the Branch Davidians as all a bunch of arsonists that killed themselves is grossly inaccurate. To say that Janet Reno and the FBI were totally responsible, that wouldn't be accurate either. There was some involvement on the part of the Branch Davidians. It's hard to explain their belief system and their religious beliefs, and I don't attempt to do that, but I can see from their point of view the actions they took up to the point of setting the fire, the one fire that I'm aware of in the chapel. I don't know. I don't think I would go that route myself, personally. I don't think you would either, Dr. Stan.
No, but anyway, that isn't what killed the women and the children there. They were in this side of that sort of a silo building.
Actually, the death of the children and a good number of the women, their mothers, occurred in an incident after the fire had been burning for about 10 or 12 minutes. There was an explosion that was generated, and everybody thought, oh, well, that's the gas propane bottle stored next to the concrete bunker outside of it. On the ground level, where the women and children had taken shelter. If I can back up a minute, earlier in the morning, the Delta Force operators, when I say early, I mean like 1 o'clock in the morning of the 19th, some Delta Force operators had gone in and placed some additional bugs in the building. They had surreptitiously gained entry. And in the film, there's an interesting story told by a man named Steve Berry, who actually is a Delta Force operator. He didn't choose to identify himself as such, but he was a trainer at the time and a sniper trainer. And Steve told us that after discussing these things with some of his teammates, he found that an operator had been placed in the building and had surreptitiously snuck in and placed these bugs the night before. And in the process of doing so, In coming through the gymnasium area, he bumped into, almost literally, a man named David Koresh. And that Koresh didn't see him, of course, but he inquired of headquarters through the radio as to whether he should just grab Koresh and bring him out. And he was, some time passed, they did some checking, and apparently that went all the way up line in the chain of command to Webb Hubble. And the response was, nope, leave them alone. We have a plan in place. We'll execute it in the morning. And that's exactly what they did. They executed the plan that executed the Branch Davidians. The microphones that were placed in the concrete bunker through the wall from the outside of the building overhears, as they're referred to by the FBI, picked up some conversations between two men, and I've listened to those tapes, and they are clearly Steve Schneider and David Koresh. And the main reason you can understand them as well as you can is because they take their gas masks off and have this conversation and note that the air is clear in the bunker. And this is well into the CS gassing during the course of that morning, about mid-morning, about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. And so the FBI then knows that Steve Schneider and David Koresh have taken shelter in this room. But that's as much information as we can track as to the knowledge of the FBI as to who was in that room. And then, as it turned out, we get reports from the Branch Davidians that Koresh and Schneider came upstairs and told the women with the little children to go downstairs and seek shelter in the bunker. We have no knowledge as to whether the FBI knew that it was the women and the children in the bunker. But during the course of the morning, events transpired as follows. The women and the children went downstairs, and then at that particular juncture, it was determined that they needed to basically break into the building with the use of the tanks and try and insert CS gas into the bunker to make it untenable under the premise that Schneider and Koresh were in the bunker. Now, earlier on, months or weeks before, we see documentation of conversations written by the Delta Force commander, a colonel, to his commanding general, telling him about a meeting he had with Janet Reno. In it, he describes the situation that he was asked for his opinion, and he gave it as to what he would do if it was a Delta operation. And the short version of it is that he would cut the head off the snake. If he had the opportunity to grab and or execute Schneider and Koresh, he would, and then under the premise that the rest of the people in the building would then come out because their leaders would be dead or captured. That plan seems to have been executed rather clumsily by the forces on the ground that day on April the 19th. The plan was to capture or kill Koresh at that particular point. And obviously, the kill option seemed to be the one they were interested in exercising. At that juncture, with the women and the children in that room, the tank came through the wall and made it all the way to the door of the bunker, just as the last adult female was going into the bunker, shooing the children in front of her. This is according to Branch Davidian eyewitnesses. And so the tank driver saw people going into the bunker, and there was so much rubble and dust and everything, he couldn't make out who they were or what they were. And at that point, the women and children were sealed in the bunker, and he injected a full bottle of CS gas into the enclosed bunker. From that point on, there was a series of episodes of penetrations by the tank into the building. One was extremely unusual. Under the pretext of going back to, at least this is what we were told by the FBI, going back to the T-intersection to recharge their CS bottles, they came back, and that same CEV then entered the building through the same path that it had gone previously. However, there was something a little odd this time. The turret with the boom and the CS gas bottles attached was reversed and facing rearward, and the tank went in, and if you look at the profile of the tank, and you look at the profile of the structure, the concrete bunker with a wooden second floor comprising up over the roof of the bunker, you see that the tank command hatch on the top of the turret exceeds the height slightly of the floor of the room. So when the tank drove in, if you were to step out of that hatch, you could step up onto the roof of the concrete bunker. There is a period of time when the vehicle proceeded into the building, went up to the wall of the bunker, and our assumption is at this point that they had additional individuals inside, and that when you look at the configuration of the tank, when the turret turns, it opens up a lot of space inside the tank to where you could have several individuals, a team of four or five men, and you could have them exit through that top command cupola turret hatch. And then we see the tank stay in there for 9, 10, 12 minutes. And then it comes back out, and it sits for 9 or 10, 12 minutes. And then it goes back in for another 9 minutes. And the assumption is they dropped off their personnel, pulled out, waited, and went back in to recover the bomb team.
And this is the Delta bomb team, then, that dropped explosives into the bunker?
Well, the evidence strongly suggests that there was an explosives team that went in.
Discover MagnetiCare cell-activating liquid complex and RX magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare liquid complex, cream, or RX magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Are you treating just your symptoms with dangerous medications and a multitude of supplements? If you answered yes, then you may be fighting the battle but losing the war. Nourish each cell in your body with Bile Superfood and win the war. 30 years of research, Bile Superfood offers more than 5,000 nutrients, proteins, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, EFAs, and powerful antioxidants to boost your immune system. With Bile Superfood, the war is won at the cellular level. Call today toll-free 877-288-9116.
Andrea here again with Radiant Clinic. I've got great news for you. With our buy one, get one free laser package sale, now is the time to get on the path to vibrant, smooth skin. Got wrinkles, sun damage, age spots, or other skin problems? We can help. At Radiant Clinic, we use the latest and best in laser technology to remedy just about any skin issues. Don't miss out on our buy one, get one free laser package sale. For all our exciting specials, visit us at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Mike McNulty. And we're not going to take any calls because I want you to hear what Mike has to say. After all, he was on the front lines of this battle. They went after the prosecuting attorney who sent the Davidians off to prison, who then felt very bad because he'd won a case that he didn't really believe in, because we've talked to Sarah Blaine, the head of the jury that convicted the Davidians, who said the wrong people were on trial. We didn't want the Davidians to go to prison, but they were ordered to come up with some sort of a minor conviction. The judge told them they had to, and when they did, of course, he sent the Davidians to prison for 40 years to relieve draw attention away from the fact that the Delta Force were there to kill the women and the children. The government violated the Posse Comitatus Act, use military equipment and military tanks and military training against American civilians. So, and they could have gotten David Koresh any time they wanted to. He went running every morning to get arrested in there. They could have arrested him the night before the final siege, but that wasn't the plan. Of course, the plan was for the psychological impact on the minds of the American people as a result of the tragedy. And we do carry the all three videos that Mike was associated with, Waco, the Rules of Engagement, Waco, the New Revelation, and, of course, the third film where they demonstrate that what the government said about the firing of things, well, it was the flashes, is not true. We have all those videos. We carry them because we think it's important. Go ahead, Mike.
That's called the FLIR Project, FLIR.
Right.
Yeah, it's a short. It's about 35 minutes long. It's an interesting little film. Unfortunately, many of the people that worked on that aspect of what happened at Waco have passed away under interesting circumstances. We had two experts. One was working for a congressional committee, and he was found dead of an alleged heart attack in his lab. And then one of our guys, who was the lead scientist when we did the FLIR project, he mysteriously contracted blood poisoning and almost died, and it impinged on his heart so badly that within a few months of that, he passed away. So we have these things that pretty quirky. I don't like conspiracy theories, but those two deaths have always left me feeling like I should be looking over my shoulder every time I go out in public. But where we left off with the placement of the explosive device on the roof of the bunker, we suspect, although we don't have hard evidence of it, because all the people that were inside the building at that location were killed, all the witnesses. The only witnesses that still live are folks that don't want to come forward. But we believe that a high explosive shaped charge was placed on the roof of the concrete bunker. It was 9 to 12 inches thick with steel reinforcing bars in it. It was an old church vault. And the whole essence of what happened was a little complicated, because apparently a distraction device was installed on the exterior of the building. We found the remains of a 100-gallon propane bottle, and our explosive expert looked at it and noted that, in fact, the top of the bottle indicated that it had been cut by det cord, that either with a timer or a radio control device, they had blown the top off of this propane bottle. It didn't ignite. And at the point at which, and then we're talking fractions of a minute after that top of that bottle was broken off or blown off and allowed the gas to release into the atmosphere, the high explosive device was detonated. And we show that sequence from video made by a TV station that day of the first the high explosive detonation, and the assumption has to be made that the propane bottle was ruptured prior to that, allowing the gas to go into the atmosphere around the building. But you can literally see when the high explosive device goes off, it then in turn ignites the propane in the atmosphere. There is, according to our explosives experts and just common sense, there is no way that the rupture and consequent ignition of the propane in the atmosphere to one side of the building is going to create a nice, neat hole blown into the roof of the bunker, 20 inches across with beveled edges down into the interior, and the steel rebar that was left in place was bent down and in. That propane couldn't do that. Another suggestion was made by Federal Senator Jack Danforth when he did his investigation was that the Branch Davidians had a number of hand grenade hulls that were filled with black powder. Well, hand grenades going off on that concrete surface might have pitted it, but could not have blown a crater through the concrete and steel reinforcing that existed there. So afraid not, guys. And the heat from that device was so hot that there was a stainless steel refrigerator just offset from the blast hole. What was directly under the blast hole was all the little children with a circle of women around the little children trying to protect them. There wasn't much left of the little children, unfortunately. And some of that's seen in the film. But the explosive effect and the heat from the explosion, stainless steel melts at 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And that stainless steel of that refrigerator was definitely melted. You can see it in the film inside the bunker when they were exhuming the bodies. And it's all melted down, and it's in puddles. It was a very, very hot explosive. It was a high explosive as well. And the BATF and the FBI both confirmed that the Branch Davidians did not have any high-order explosives that they could figure, that they could determine. In other words, they didn't have any plastique. They didn't have any dynamite even. What they had was black powder and gunpowder. They had some powdered aluminum and sulfur, and that was about it. And it just wouldn't have been, they wouldn't have been able to create a device that would have blown a hole in that, in the roof of that bunker in the way that it was blown. According to, tactically, the military experts that we had look at it, including the one that appears on camera, the tactics of using a breaching device and going in after the leadership was not only what happened, but was precisely in accordance with the plan as laid out by the Delta Force people in the memo from the Delta Force colonel to his general, General Schumacher. And so, you know, it's, while I wouldn't say that the evidence is of the quality to where we could get a verdict of first-degree murder beyond a reasonable doubt, it certainly is sufficient in a civil case to get a judgment, and it's certainly sufficient to warrant further examination of facts and cross-examination of witnesses, particularly the Delta Force operators. They were never interrogated or examined by the prosecuting attorneys or the claimant attorneys in the civil case. They were not allowed to be talked to. So, yeah, why is that significant today? Who cares? Well, if Delta Force can be used, that was the second time Delta Force was used, by the way. And we should probably talk a little bit more after the break.
All right, we'll be back in a moment here with Mike McNulty.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier
I look and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here. Our guest this morning, Mike McNulty. Mike, do you have any sort of a web page or anything you'd like to put out before we go on?
No, not right now, Dr. Stan. I think the best way your listeners could look into it further is getting a copy of the Waco New Revelation film from you. I would say if you're only going to buy one more film in your lifetime, this would probably be the most important one you could get. And I want you to understand, folks, I'm not selling the film. Dr. Stan has it. And the fact is it why I raised the issue just before a break. Why is this important now? Well, a couple reasons. The first time that the Delta Force operators were used on U.S. soil was to break up the Muriel boat riots at the prison down south, and they were brought in because the FBI hostage rescue team had actually literally blown themselves up in a breaching operation trying to get at the rioters. And so they brought Delta in, and that was, believe it or not, under President Ronald Reagan. And he signed off an order, an executive order, to allow them to go in and do that. Well, it appears that Mr. Clinton used that as a precedent and signed off on Delta Force going to Waco and being forward deployed and operative. And that's exactly what they did as far as we can tell. And again, what we have is not the equivalent of beyond a reasonable doubt evidence in a murder trial, but it certainly could lead to that and should lead to that. And it's certainly good enough for a civil trial, if we could ever get a civil trial, before a judge other than Judge Walter Smith, who heard both the criminal and civil trials in the original incident. The second reason it's important is because the person in the upline chain of command that we mentioned at the beginning of the show, who was involved in making decisions for the outcome of that day, the people involved were Webb Hubbell at the Department of Justice, relaying information on from his contact in the White House, receiving his orders, if you will, from Vincent Foster. And Mr. Foster was taking orders from none other than, and this is hard to believe, but you need to look at the film and look at the evidence, Mrs. Hillary Rodham Clinton, the First Lady. Oh, was that the same Hillary Rodham Clinton that was running for president up until last weekend? Oh, is that the same Hillary Rodham Clinton that might be running as Osama, I'm sorry. Oh, I've been watching too much television.
Obama.
That Mr. Barack Obama's, as Mr. Obama's running mate? Could it be? Yes, it could be. And the interesting fact is that the evidence that would prove this, that you'll see illustrated in the film, through Senate hearings and videotaped Senate hearings, happens to be some documents that were removed from Foster's office the night of his death. And they were handed over, according to eyewitness testimony of those that did it, to Hillary Rodham Clinton. And we've inquired of the Clinton Library to obtain these documents, particularly the one written by Foster that's been characterized as a resignation letter over the Waco incident. And, oh, no, we can't find those. We don't know anything about those. Nope. Well, I would suggest they try looking a little harder. But then again, Mrs. Clinton may have shredded it. I guess the bottom line is someone ought to ask Mrs. Clinton the question, what did you do with the documents when they were given to you? Where did they go? Where are they now? Why did you destroy them if you destroyed them? And where are they now if they're not destroyed? So there's reason number two. Reason number three. Recently, we've all witnessed what's been going on down in Texas again, only this time it's the Texas state authorities and their beloved Child Protective Services agency. Obviously, the Texas Supreme Court thinks that these people were off base in the way that they behaved, But again, it's a group of religionists who have some strange practices, I have to admit that, that are being gone after by the state. So history repeats itself once again. The difference, of course, is that this time the religionists didn't shoot some federal agents, giving the agents, the federal government, an excuse to go in and burn them out. But it isn't over yet. The children haven't been returned, and even though the court has said they have to be. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. It looks like the state of Texas hasn't learned very much from their Waco experience. So, again, as Dr. Stan stated at the beginning of the show, history repeats itself. And unless we understand what really happened, first of all, and the consequences of that, history will continue to repeat itself, and we'll just sit there and scratch our heads and wonder why. So the idea here is to become educated as to what the facts are. If you want to dispute the facts that I present in the film, you're welcome to do so. Many people have, but nobody's ever disproven what we've attempted to lay out for folks.
What was the ultimate fate of the prosecuting attorney who turned out to be a good guy who helped you? My understanding is they sent him off to prison on a perjury charge or something?
Well, they tried to. They tried to. And actually, he did make a mistake, and he paid for it. They took his law license away from him for a couple of years, and he's on probation. And he lost his job as the assistant U.S. attorney in Waco. In my opinion, if they ever had anyone fill that position, he was the guy that should have filled it. It's too bad he didn't see all this coming. Of course, he was just as propagandized as the rest of us in terms of believing that the federal government would never do anything like this. Well, he's got a different attitude now. He understands that everything was not kosher, forgive the expression, with what was done at Waco. Why hasn't anything been done about it? There were investigations that were conducted, congressional and the independent counsel investigation conducted by Jack Danforth. Well, in my opinion, looking at the way Danforth conducted his investigation, it was more of a burial detail as opposed to revealing truth. Their job was to cover it up and bury it as well as they could. That's why the FLIR project has also been made. It shows and reveals the lies that were done, perpetrated by Jack Danforth and his team. Every time that question about Waco comes up, whoever's asked always throws the Jack Danforth thing in and says, well, da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I'd like them to watch the FLIR project and judge for themselves. Old joke about our friend Groucho Marx in a little film called Duck Soup got caught. Well, I have a funny...
Run out of time. God bless. Talk to you later, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you, Simon.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
You're invited to join the Beth Messiah Congregation Sunday, June the 15th for Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. The location is the North Shore Park of Lake Loveland in Loveland, Colorado. That's the amphitheater. Bring your own lunch and drink, no glass containers, please, and bring a blanket to sit on and some protection from the sun. Praise and worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Special guest speakers, Dr. Frank Morgan, Obadiah Frank, author of The Watchman's Cry, and Dr. Bree Keaton. For more information, call 1-800-205-6245 or 303-654-9924.
Dr. Stan, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Mike McNulty, because, you see, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And what happened is they used the Delta Forces. Now, if you see the video, Waco Nuke Revelation, you'll see interviews with at least two people who were in contact with the members of the Delta Force. How could you conceal that here in America if they sent in professional killers there into the Waco compound? Well, you see, we have freedom of the press in America. If you own the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever you want to. The films, what I recommend, Waco, A New Revolution, excellent. We also, and that's on, available on DVD. Also, we have certainly the video of Waco, The Rules of Engagement, and the video of the FLIR project. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's Waco, A New Revelation, DVD, The FLIR Project on VHS, and Waco, The Rules of Engagement. I believe that's on VHS. Under any circumstances, are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. They sent them in to kill the Davidians, and they did. And, of course, the Davidians were all shot in the back of the head. Isn't that interesting? They all were shot in the back of the head, execution style. And even the Texas Ranger said, this is an open murder investigation. But you never heard that. And the trials, well, they were show trials like they have in Cuba. They were show trials like they had in Russia, not to reveal, but to conceal the truth. And the 17 little children were killed by American military just carrying out their orders, doing what they were told to do, and if they could kill the Davidians, why, they could kill anyone in this country. And of course, that takes us forward to the next episode, which was, of course, what happened in Oklahoma City 2 years later with bombing the Murrah building. And everything points to the fact that Timothy McVeigh was working for Special Forces. Jennifer, his sister, got a letter from Tim saying that there's a book, Secret Worth Dying For, written by McVeigh's cellmate, that tells that story, and so does Terry Nichols. But you're not going to hear the story that Timothy McVeigh was not a loner out brooding over Waco. He was working for Special Forces. And as he told his cellmate, the only way I'm ever going to get out of here is to be executed. I wonder what he meant. Well, there was a fellow named Bill Cooper, used to do talk radio, who kept playing a tape on his program of an interview with a woman who actually went to Timothy McVeigh's execution. And on that tape, and I've heard it several times, the woman says, gee, I didn't know you kept breathing after you'd been executed. I didn't know you kept breathing after you were executed. And then, of course, what happened to Bill Cooper? Well, he was killed by a SWAT team right here in the United States. And, of course, Bill Cooper is no longer on the radio. You can get his book, Ride a Pale Horse, still available, but Bill Cooper is simply a part of the past history. Does this sort of thing really happen in America? Would we send our troops to Iraq to fight a no-win war where our forces were not allowed to win? And, of course, you need to get my material on that or listen to the interviews we have with Ricardo Sanchez. Let me suggest you go to my website at radioliberty.com and pull down the December 2007 newsletter. It's a talk given by General Ricardo Sanchez, who for 3 years, for a year, from June of 2003 to June of 2004, commanded the American forces in Iraq in the no-win war. The no-win war we're fighting there. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. for our provision and redemption. Until tomorrow, Lord be with you.
Want to talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.